Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning, and welcome to another edition of the largest overnight program in the world. That's true. Largest overnight program in the world. Stretching from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Great to be here this morning, and I'm sort of just barely here. We had a wonderful trip to Mackinac Island for the Somewhere in Time reunion. It was wonderful. And I'm going to, if not tonight, then tomorrow night, maybe yet tonight, I'm going to just put on the videotape of the whole thing on streaming video. Now, do you have streaming video capability yet? No? Do you have a computer? Oh, well, all right. If you do, then go to my website, www.artbell.com, and download the G2 program. Come back to my website, click on streaming video, and here we'll be doing the show. You can actually see it as well as hear it. So I want to thank everybody at the Grand Hotel, everybody who had anything to do with the Somewhere in Time weekend. It was a blast. It was neat going to Michigan. As you know, I'm a ham operator. We took our little handhelds with us, and since we were flying at about 31,000 feet, three of us were hams. Why, we talked ourselves all the way to Michigan and back. Talked to hams all over the place. It was a lot of fun. You have no idea how well a little tiny handheld radio with a rubber duck will do at 31,000 feet. It's a real disproportionate advantage, let's put it that way. I'll tell you another little secret. Cell phones work real well from airplanes, too. Now, they say you can't use them, and I suppose I understand why. You probably bring up cell sites from here to Kalamazoo, literally. But it does work. For any of you who have ever wondered whether cell phones work on airplanes, the answer is yes. Will they let you do it on commercial airliners? No. Are you supposed to do it? Probably not. Does it work? Oh, yes, in case you've ever wondered. Now, while we were at Mackinac Island, and just literally just hours prior to our return flight, we were on a Cessna Citation, by the way, with a twin-engine prop jet. And just hours prior to our return, we got the word of Egypt Flight 990 going down. Just as we had had the news of the earlier plane tragedy prior to leaving. So it was a thoughtful thing. And earlier today, I've been looking at this Flight 990 thing for, you know, since it occurred, thinking really hard about it, and I'll tell you what my thinking was, that it would be almost impossible for a forward, you know, an aircraft moving forward at 33,000 feet, at 550 miles an hour, probably, in that area, just virtually impossible for it to go from 33,000 feet at 550 miles per hour in the horizontal mode to into the ocean in 36 seconds. There are very, very, very few things that could do it. I think, though, that we now know what it was. Best guess, anyway, and I think it's really a good guess, and it's reinforced tonight. Earlier today, I read a Chicago Tribune story on 990. And I had Keith put a link up midday, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I said, Keith, I think it was the reverser, thrust reverser. Now, you know what a thrust reverser is. I'm sure you do. Anybody who's ever taken a plane flight knows what it is. When you land, after the wheels have touched down, the thrust reversers are deployed, and it changes the direction of the thrust to slow the plane, kind of like downshifting in your car. It's kind of like that in a way, downshifting to come to a stop in your car. Not an exact parallel, but the best I can come up with. And they've had a real problem on 767s with the thrust reversers. And they have an extensive article in the Chicago Tribune. We've got a link up now, and I think you'll find it very compelling with regard to the history of the 767 and the thrust reversers. Now, I was prepared to come on and say, look, this is Occam's razor. It's the most likely explanation for this, and so it's probably the one that is true. But then that was reinforced about an hour before coming on the air. CNN began to report that one of the crew members, this plane, of course, was in Los Angeles, originated, I guess, in Los Angeles, had ridden up or complained about the thrust reverser that then was apparently deactivated on this flight in Los Angeles prior to going to New York. So I'm not saying that that cinches it, but the one thing that could do when I described taking a 550-mile-per-hour aircraft in horizontal flight at 33,000 feet and putting it into the ocean that fast would be the thrust reverser. It would simply tilt it down, and my understanding is, if you read the Chicago Tribune article, that you have exactly 6 seconds to react if that occurs. And after 6 seconds, it cannot be recovered. In other words, you're going down. So, I think that that is exactly what occurred. And if I were a betting person, which I don't bet on these kind of things, of course, none of us do, I would certainly bet on that. We'll find out a tragedy, but it looks like one that we know about and we've seen before. If you read this Chicago Tribune article, I think you will find other alarming, what would be the right word? Alarming similarities between prior crashes and what went on here. Now, nobody's going to know for sure until they get the black boxes and they're beeping and they're going to get them. The weather is bad in the area, so it's going to take a while, but with this additional story breaking tonight on CNN of somebody having written up the thrust reverser, which obviously, if it goes off in midair, it tries to make the jet go backwards. So the way to think about it. And it immediately stalls and goes into a dive, and that's, of course, exactly what occurred. We think. One of the very few things that could take a jet going that fast and put it in the water that fast. Occam's razor, the most likely scenario. An odd thing happened after coming back from Mackinac, why I slept up. You know, I really slept a lot. Got up today. Check this out, folks. For innocence for having this happen. Did absolutely nothing to deserve this. I lounged around. I watched a football game we had taped on the weekend. Can't miss football, after all. And part of a movie earlier today. In other words, I was basically inactive, taking it easy. Woke up tonight, and my back is having little spasms. Now, I haven't had this in a long time now, and it's for no reason. I mean, usually I can pin it down to something. This time, no reason at all. Into spasm, so we'll see. The U.S. Air Force said Friday This is Reuters, by the way, that it's going to be watching closely for any damage to U.S. missile warning communications and other military satellites when the Earth, that's us, passes through the Leonid meteor storm on November 17th. So it's coming. The storm, consisting of tiny sand-like particles traveling faster than 140,000 miles per hour, is essentially a cloud of the tail of space debris from Temple Tuttle, the comet. Although there was some concern when the Earth first passed through the comet's tail in 1998, the Air Force said scientists now expect this year to be the largest display from Temple Tuttle since 1966. So, November 17th should be a pretty cool day, and of course we'll have the cameras here monitoring for you, and we'll see what we can see, as we did last year. Now, let's see, there's a lot of other stuff. Oh, by the way, in the next hour, I'm going to have some twins on, Terry and Linda Jameson. They are not just twins, interesting enough, but they are psychic twins, very famous psychic twins. And they will be doing some predictions, some prophecy for you. And I thought that a pretty good time to talk about this kind of thing since we're headed for the millennium. There's going to be quite a bit of it. We always do our own personal prophetic utterances between Christmas and the New Year. And this will be a particularly enlarged version of that this year because, of course, we click over the 1,000-year mark. Can you imagine that, 1,000 years? This is now November, December, and then 2000. Think about that a little bit. We're going to turn the 1,000-year mark. And through generations and generations, there are not many people who get to do that. We are going to be that generation. We're going to see the 1,000-year mark click over. Kind of like seeing your car click over to 1,000,000 miles or something like that. Not that very many cars ever make it to 1,000,000 miles. Maybe 100,000 would be more like it. And when that happens, you usually have mixed emotions, right? Your car has, on the one hand, made it 100,000 miles, but on the other hand, it may not make it much longer, because 100,000 miles is the general useful life of most cars, and actually it exceeds some cars. So it may mean your car will die soon. It's kind of the way the millennium feels. Mixed emotions about it all. We'll be right back. Well, this comes under the category of one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, but funny. One of my listeners sent this to me. In the upper left-hand corner of, I don't know, some kind of mail, this listener points out, circles the area, which is in large, bold print in the upper left-hand corner. It says, $2,000 fine or 5 years imprisonment or both if any person, who interferes or obstructs delivery of this letter or otherwise violates 18 United States Code 1702 ETSEQ, whatever that is. Then below that it says C Title 18 Section 1708 U.S. Code. Theft of U.S. mail is punishable by fines of up to $2,000, 5 years in prison or both. And then in bold below that it says to be opened by addressee only. And then when you look at who it sent it, it's sent to occupant, Route 4, Parsons, Kansas. That kind of warning. I've got this. I wish I could I wish I could show it to you, actually. I should scan this and put it up on the website. Can you imagine that? A warning that this puts the warning under a mattress, makes it pale in comparison, and then the damn thing is addressed to occupant. Not even a person by name. But you're going to jail forever if you disturb it. To be opened by addressee only. Occupant. Who the hell's occupant? Well, all right, I've got a lot more here, and we'll hold this and kind of sprinkle it in as we move along tonight. Occupant. As you well know, there was some mindless violence that went on in Hawaii as well, and looks like they've got that under control. The shooting suspect in Hawaii, the Xerox so-called copier killer, who shot and killed 7 co-workers, has surrendered. And we'll just have to figure out what was wrong here, if you can ever figure these out. And usually you can. It's a disgruntled employee, they think, who snapped suddenly for some reason. But you never really know. I call them head shakers over the years. I've never really understood. Well, you know, it's insufficient to say that somebody was a disgruntled worker. I mean, that's not enough. You don't go and kill 7 co-workers because you are disgruntled. Or at least a normal person does not. So to me, it is a head shaker, a sign, if you will, of the quickening. I heard them say, you know, we usually don't have this kind of violence in Hawaii. But I guess the mindless violence even can get to paradise, they said earlier. I guess so. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Andy from Clackamas, Oregon.
Hello.
There's a Portland Trailblazers game on where you're supposed to be on.
Well, that happens, Andy. What's up?
Did you know that Rush Limbaugh is on the same station as you are now?
I had heard that. Thank you, Andy. Yes. KEX. And, of course, sporting events occasionally preempt this program and others. That's just the nature of sports. I used to be on KDWN in Las Vegas. And do you know there were times when the Dodgers would get to playing, and they would play and play and play and play, and they'd get into a tie game. And in those days, I went on at an even later hour, actually 1 o'clock in the morning, Pacific time. And occasionally the Dodgers would play so long, they would play, I remember, a 22-inning game. A 22-inning ball game. 22 innings. Absolutely incredible. And I didn't get on the air until, I don't know, I think it was about 2:30 in the morning. And I can only imagine the Dodgers must have gone home and they must have dropped and they must have been so pooped. Can you imagine doing 22 innings? Then you'd be dragging yourself out to the field. Well, when these things happen, we get preempted. It's just the way it goes. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. You're listening to Coast AM. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 19... You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
It's really something. No matter how badly I feel, music always helps. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and we're going to be talking to the Jameson Twins. They are twins, and they are psychic, and they are going to be doing some prophecy for you. Things they have seen. And we're going to talk to them a little bit, of course, about being what it's like to be twins. And that connected. Mm-hmm. Now, we may have William Thomas on tomorrow night. He's got some hot news. And I talked to him earlier today, and I said, William, be sure to include your phone number when you email me the latest info you've got. And he forgot to include his phone number, so I don't know that we're going to have him on. We'll see. William, send your phone number. He sent me about 9 pages of other startling information. William Thomas, of course, is the investigator who has been looking into the chemtrails, so-called. And he's got an awful lot of information, very shocking information. And so if we get his phone number tomorrow night, you may be shocked by William Thomas. We'll see. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I have a question or a comment about something that Art Bell made about a news report.
All right.
Is that cool?
It's cool, yes.
Oh, you are? Are you on? Am I on?
Yes and yes.
Oh, okay, because we're getting a delay on the radio.
That's why we tell everybody, turn your radio off.
Well, no, it was, we're still getting your advertisement.
That's because we have a delay, dear. That's why you're supposed to turn your radio off.
Okay, well, it's off now.
Good.
Anyways, this is Kat from Hawaii. I called you a couple weeks ago. I don't
right.
really remember. But I wanted to call about the Honolulu incident.
Yes.
I was in the building right across the street from there when it happened.
Oh, boy.
And my fiancé, actually, his boss's son is an executive at Xerox and was supposed to be in that building today and wasn't. But apparently what the story was that I heard from everybody, because we use those people for our Xerox machines. I work in a law office.
Right.
That the guy had found out that he was going to get fired and just, I guess, snapped and went over there. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, crazy is right.
It's just crazy.
Look, I've been fired from jobs.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anybody who hasn't.
Yeah.
So what would make somebody who's about to lose their job or even finds out they're going to get fired walk in with a gun and start killing innocent people?
I have
no I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
So just to say he was going to get fired, to me,
right.
It does not explain this horrid crime.
No, it's terrible, too, because where we were, I just walked in the building 5 minutes before it started and went downstairs right after we found out it started, because I have to go up and down the elevator with files and stuff all day. And they had the whole place corded off. And I guess apparently the rumor was he had left in the van earlier, but then we had found out from the police outside that there were 12 more gunshots, and they made everybody stay in the building. Nobody could come and go.
Well, the Hawaiian press and media is commenting that there is so little violence in Hawaii, and they're so shocked at this occurring.
I know. Well, in the paper, because I'm originally from Southern California, so in the paper it keeps saying this is the worst mass murder in the history of Hawaii.
Yep.
But, I mean, what makes me nervous is it's like the chain reaction, you know, that comes from something like this. I mean, you hear about these things that happen, then all of a sudden it's like, it just keeps happening, or else maybe the media just keeps reporting it. I don't know.
No. But no, these things, with regard to their frequency, are common to modern life.
Uh-huh.
When I was young, if they occurred hardly ever. I mean, it simply was something you never heard about, and there was plenty of media back then to report it had
right.
it occurred.
Right.
So I don't buy into the argument that it's just more reporting. It's
yeah.
not. I appreciate your call, hon. It's a basic, profound social change that has occurred to us. And, yes, it is part of the quickening, what I call the quickening. More and more mindless violence. We've actually begun to control some other aspects of crime, are actually down. But this kind of crime, this mindless violence by adults and now, of course, children, is something new and distinctive to modern life. So you can ask yourself, what is there in modern life that would cause this? Why would somebody who was going to get canned kill a bunch of fellow employees? Saying they were going to get canned is no reason. No reason at all. Does not explain it. Period. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Bobby from Colorado.
Hi, Bobby. Turn your radio off, please.
Sure, hold on.
Yep. Everybody have your radio close by.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
good. On, let's see, October 19th, Tuesday night, 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
I was looking into the western skies.
Yes.
And I saw something that looked like a comet, but it was going probably maybe half the speed of it.
Well, now, you don't see a comet move exactly. You barely perceive a comet move in the sky. You can see a kind of a blur behind it, but a comet, you probably don't mean a comet.
Okay, more like an asteroid then.
You mean kind of like a re-entering piece of space junk or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was wondering if any of your listeners have saw it or anything.
Also, Zena, where are you?
I'm in Colorado, Denver.
And what time was it?
Oh, it was about 10 o'clock, about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, and it just sped across the sky, or what?
It pretty much went straight down, but it, remember during Desert Fox how you talked about
Desert Storm?
No, the Desert Fox operation when you talked about the comet that went down, at 12, and they never found it?
No. I don't remember.
You talked about that a little bit when it happened.
Desert Fox. What is Desert Fox?
Was the other operation.
Other operation? I'm sorry, I'm not following you. What operation was that? No, no. I think he meant Desert Storm. Not sure. I don't recall a Desert Fox. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
This is Ron, and I'm calling you from the north end of our little Great Valley.
Hi, Ron.
And I two things. Number one, with what all is happening and the shootings going on and everything, it's kind of reminiscent of Majestic 12. And it's really not surprising.
MJ-12 in what way?
Well, the MJ-12 article stated that in the future, this article being written in 1989, and it said that in the future that they, whomever they may be, would be in control of the public in order to get the weapons away, and would, through mind control and other means, would do things to make people use weapons.
So you think that this is a mind control thing? I've thought of that. You know, I've thought of that.
Well, you've seen, of course, the end of the Majestic 12 document.
Yes, I have.
And it's in there. And what's scary is it was written in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that, in fact, they would have people going into schoolyards and killing innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But number two, what, in your knowledge, what would put out such a brilliant flash of light? And when I mean brilliant, I do hobbies in the north end of my home. And I have a 150-watt bulb overhead, a 100-watt bulb on my bench. My blinds are shut. And the night that you left to go on your trip,
right,
about 11:30, I guess, you were talking with the other gentleman that wrote The Quickening.
Right. Stuart Wilde.
Yes. And my room lit up like somebody just took a flash. And I couldn't figure out what it was. I walked outside. I seen nothing. My neighbor was outside. Dogs were raising Cain.
Mm-hmm. What did your neighbor say?
Well, they seen it also, and they don't know what it was. But it lit up. It lit up this whole north end of this valley, and it was so quick.
You're talking about my valley, Perump.
Yeah. And it was.
You know, it's funny that you should mention that.
Please tell me you've seen it.
I remember that. By God, I remember that. And it registered in my mind, but I didn't think anything more about it. And I, too, was inside. It's funny you should mention that. Now, all of a sudden, it comes rushing back. I, too, saw that, whatever it was.
This is unreal.
But I actually didn't see it. I was inside as well. So
exactly.
You've got a good point. What could that have been?
Well, I was hoping with some of your knowledge that maybe you and, whatever it may be.
Absolutely not. No, but I remember it. So let's ask anybody else. That's all I can do.
Gross.
What we need is somebody who is outside.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. That's somebody here in my Perump Valley. And by God, I remember that now. And it's just one of those things that you sort of, you say to yourself, what the hell is that? It's way too cold to be lightning. We don't have any storms in the area, so what was that? I remember. I'm glad he mentioned that. Anybody else see it? And did anybody, was anybody outside to see it? It may have been something that re-entered above us. Or who knows? But yes, by gosh, I remember now, now that he mentions it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
Hey, you missed my package, I imagine. You left a day early. Did you get the contrail photo with the Gordon Lightfoot and Linda Ronstadt?
No, but I imagine that it awaits me with the mail we're about to open.
Well, the contrail photo is in with the video package in the box.
Okay.
And I used to do a lot of photographs of concerts, and I missed your Gordon Lightfoot one, but I sent you a couple of photos of them in their heyday, so, you know, especially the Linda Ronstadt you might enjoy.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
And a little bit of bumper music. Let me know if you enjoy it or not.
All right. Linda was a stone fox back then.
You'll enjoy it. It was about 1978 for the photo. And
that'd be just about right.
I was doing security, so I was right on stage.
I hear you. All right.
Anyhow, when you get a chance, pop that photo up there. You know, the contrail, I'd be interested since you're kind of talking to William Thomas.
All right. You got it. Thank you. I hope I'm talking to William Thomas. He was supposed to include his phone number. So I re-emailed him and said, hey, I remember you were supposed to send me your phone number. And he didn't do that. So if he does, we may have William Thomas on tomorrow night. I know he's got a lot of very shocking new information, which is embargoed until we do that show. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you could tell me what this noise on the radio is.
I don't know. There's a noise on your phone.
Yeah, but it's a bad connection.
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay, just a second. I'm switching to it. It's on a low megahertz signal. Here it is. Do you happen to know what that is?
Well, I thought I heard code in there, CW it's called. But CW. then it turned into a long, weird kind of tone. Where are you hearing that?
Like what, megahertz?
Yeah.
It's at about 6.3.
6.3?
Megahertz.
6.3. Do you mean that, or do you mean 6:30 on the AM dial, which?
Shortwave.
Oh, that's on shortwave. Okay, 6.3, huh? Well, let me hear it again.
Okay.
Boy, that's weird. That almost, it might be packet, it might be some kind of packet radio. I don't immediately identify it. It's some kind of digital radio, though.
Oh, I'm also inside the house, and it, like, conks out some of the reception.
Okay, well, that's what I would say. It's some kind of digital signal. It kind of sounds like sort of a slow packet. I don't know exactly what that would be. Weird, though, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, is this Art?
Yes.
Hey, Art. I've been trying to reach for a while. This is Nate from Yuma, Arizona.
Okay, Nate, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to, you know, you remember Mike Markham?
Madman Markham.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, you know, I was interested in his physics he was doing, and
I don't think that Madman himself understood exactly why it worked.
It was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you ever go over there and videotape anything?
No, no. If he had called me and he said he was ready for the big walk-through experiment, I was fully prepared to fly back there to a Kansas City suburb and tape whatever happened. But he never called me, and he disappeared. And so I can only conclude Madman is in one of two places. A pile of dust on the floor of a warehouse.
Yeah, that's...
Or in a different time and a different place.
Terrible.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, you know, I just...
He may be back like in 1920, laughing at all of us.
Well, you know, that would be quite interesting.
It would, thank you. Yes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Going once. Going twice. Gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Andy from Largo, Florida.
Hello, Andy.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time up north. I was raised in Michigan, so I've been up there quite a bit. One thing I never researched, though, and it's probably a good question, did you hear of any or do your own research on as far as Mackinac Island being kind of a haunted area, culturally speaking? Or?
Oh, yes. I'm aware of the reports of haunting on Mackinac, and even within the hotel itself, although I am pleased to report to you that I was not haunted while there.
Well, good thing.
That's what I thought, too.
What was the weather like at night? Pretty cold?
Yeah, it cooled down. It got, sure, it got pretty cool. I mean, we're talking about Michigan in November, so yes.
Yeah, I miss a season change. Well, listen, glad you had a good time, and thanks.
Okay, you bet. Take care. We are presently dubbing from 8mm to VHS, and when I get the VHS dubbed here shortly, I'll probably put it up on streaming video for you to see. And you can see what we saw, at least a great deal of it, at Mackinac. I have my camcorder going. So we'll probably put that up for you in a little bit. Coming up shortly, the Jameson twins, and they're psychic twins, and they're going to have some prophecy for us. And prophecy is something we're going to be doing a lot of as we head toward the 2,000-year mark. 2,000 years, can you imagine that? Anyway, that's coming up next from the High Desert. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired November 2nd, 1999.
Good morning, everybody. We continue to play oldies, music of this recent music, that is, relatively, of this millennium, as we prepare to turn the clock toward 2000. This is already November. Can you believe it? Well, we've got a likely pair coming up for the millennium. They actually call themselves the Millennium Twins. They are the Jameson Twins, and they are known the world over as the Psychic Twins. They're also accomplished painters, comedians, singers, songwriters, producers, designers, models. Yeah, they're lookers. Authors, teachers, lecturers. Jameson Twins are truly Renaissance women. Turner Superstations featured them in the acclaimed documentary Twin Stories, which recently aired globally. Matter of fact, they have been profiled in the 1997 bestseller, the 100 Top Psychics in America. Uh-huh. They've been on Lisa. They've been on The Other Side. They've been on all kinds of shows, you know, worldwide, really. They entertained the Reagans at the White House, and on and on and on and on. And they are here. They're going to do some prophecy for you tonight, and we're going to talk to them about the whole concept of twins and what it's been for them, what it's been like for them. Most of us who do not have twins don't know what it's like. So I think we'll explore as best we can tonight and find out. For that young man who called me with the shortwave sound prior to the top of this hour, I knew it was some sort of a digital mode, but I couldn't quite identify it. I said it sounded like a slow packet. What it actually was is SITOR, which is an error-correcting data mode used commercially, similar to ham radio's AMTOR. And as I suggested when I heard it, it was slow. An AMTOR is slow. It's a very slow but very sure error-correcting digital transmission. So that's what he was hearing. All right, now, the Jameson twins. The Jameson twins, psychic twins. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art.
I guess that's what you've got to expect. Terry and Linda, is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
All right, let me try and differentiate between your voices. Linda, say something.
I have a little bit throatier voice.
Okay, and Terry?
And mine is a tiny bit higher, more of a soprano.
Uh-huh. That's, yeah, that's right. All right. That'll work. Now, how old are you two?
We're actually 44.
44. Okay. Are you identical?
Yes, we are. We've been doing psychic work for the past 16 years, actually.
Blind men identical twins.
Yes, we
yes,
are.
Yes, we are.
You are, huh? Do you live close by, or are you separated by a great distance?
We live in the same house.
Same house, all right. First of all, most people in my audience, myself included, don't have a twin. Mm-hmm. So, the obvious question first, what's it like being a twin? Is it? Are there ups and downs to it, good things
yeah,
and bad
it's,
things?
It's a lot more difficult, actually, than people think, because you really have to define your own identity over time, and many twins don't manage to do that. And it's a real, I would say, a real power struggle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are more ups than downs, though, Art. It's a very magical and special and wonderful relationship that I think few people ever can have. It's almost like a marriage.
I once dated twins.
Did you?
Yes, I did. For quite some time, as a matter of fact.
And how about that?
It was what's the right word for it?
Confusing.
A little bit, because they were identical twins, and they didn't really define the difference between the two of them all that well, and they were so close mm-hmm. that I was always a little unsure about how our relationship was being handled between the two of them. In other words, I had a feeling that everything as a matter of fact, the twin I was dating was named Linda, Glenda, mm-hmm. the other twin, always knew exactly what was going on.
Right.
Is that likely?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I knew it. I knew it. All right, well, so anyway.
That's funny.
Well, it had its ups and downs. Anyway, listen, girls, when you, ladies, I guess, when did you discover there was a psychic, well, let's go even further back than that. As twins, without special psychic abilities, most twins say there is a relationship, a psychic relationship or a communication between the two that other people don't have. True?
Yeah, well, an extrasensory kind of connection, although we tell people that we have that, but we're psychic for other people.
Right.
And most twins, they have a connection or a bond with each other. If one of them hurts their ankle, the other is in pain, no matter how far away they are. I know twins that one twin had a baby, and the other one was the one that felt the labor pain.
Right.
And so that does happen with us, but we take it much farther, and we're able to be psychic for anyone.
When did you two realize that your psychic abilities went beyond the norm, even for twins?
I would say it's probably around 15 years ago. Terry and I began to experiment with psychic work, and we decided all of a sudden one day together that we could probably get more detailed information through automatic or channeled writing. We had never really known anyone who did this. We just decided to give it a try, and we thought, well, maybe we can actually write answers that come from the spirit world or a higher source of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we did. We were able to write pages and pages of information in an almost archaic language.
You were both able to do this.
Yes.
Yes.
We were able to do everything at the same time, exactly.
It was quite exciting, and as we worked with this art, we realized that we could predict accurately for friends and loved ones, and it took a while before we really trusted this. We weren't quite sure what was going on, but we knew that we had a mission somehow. And through this process, we developed a divination system using the automatic writing, whereby we can access information from the Akashic records and higher realms.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You
mm-hmm.
use the word channeling, which I've always been a little suspicious of, channeling. but it's another way of saying, in other words, I was about to ask you, where does the information coming, where is it coming from? You said the Akashic records. What do you mean? Explain that to everybody.
Well, our actions and thoughts don't simply dissipate or disappear in any given lifetime. They're recorded in the ethers of the universe, in what are called the Akashic or etheric records. It's a band, an etheric band that surrounds the planet, and even one surrounds the galaxy. And it's a part of the spiritual being of creation. We can access it as psychics who do automatic writing. It's easiest to access through automatic writing.
Why?
I don't know why. It's just been channeled that is the best way, and we didn't know that at the time when we began to do automatic writing.
Okay, again, I'm troubled by the word channeling because it implies that you're bringing forth some specific character from the past, but you're not really. Sort of a collective. Are the Akashic records the same thing as a sort of a collective consciousness?
I don't believe that's what it is. The Akashic Records is actually a band of energy around the Earth where all thoughts exist.
Why is that? Why could that not equally be called a collective?
Because it's not a collection of beings. And your question was, is it a collective of beings or consciousness? It is thought forms, actually. It's actions and deeds that have been already committed, that have happened already. So it's not consciousness as it. You might channel a being.
Right.
That's not the Akashic Records.
Gotcha.
You're channeling a spirit entity in that case.
All right. All right. And that's not what you're doing. This is from the Akashic Records.
Yes, and when we're doing a reading with someone or we're sitting down with someone, we're actually working with their guides as well as ours. We have different guides that we work with. As we elevate in consciousness, we do attract higher and higher level beings. At least that's what we believe.
When did you turn from doing individual readings for people, which I don't do on the air, to doing, for example, predictions for the coming millennium?
We have been predicting things like earthquakes and different natural events and disasters for a while. We were involved in the Northridge earthquake, which was huge. So ever since then, we've kept an earthquake file. And since we're coming up on the millennium, we thought, well, let's try this. Let's see about doing prophecies for the millennium. And it's amazing the information that we've gotten through. It's pretty interesting, actually. We were just doing some preparation work for your show a couple days ago. And we got the information in about the Egypt air crash and the exact number of people that would die the very day that it happened. The day before the crash. So it was quite amazing. We weren't expecting to pull something in that would happen that soon.
Now, how do you document that? When you get a big piece of information like that, obviously people are going to sit out there and say, oh, come on, they're telling us about that now.
Right.
But what did you do at the time when you got this?
Well, at the time, we just received the information, and we didn't really know when it was going to happen. We thought, well, it's going to happen soon, but, you know, if you call the FBI, they're going to think you're a nut anyway.
I know.
So, you know, we've tried calling the police about murder cases. We've worked on murder cases and actually solved one recently. But we, you know, it's really a tough thing because you have all this great information and people don't want to print it.
I have sympathy with that. I'm sure the police and the FBI really just hate getting these kinds of calls.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, and so you've tried a few times in the past.
Right.
Yes, we have.
Have the police ever come to you?
Yes, they did. Earlier this year, we worked on three different murder cases in Northern California. We aren't at liberty to give details.
I understand.
But
We did correctly get the murderer's name, and they located him within a few weeks, and it was all over the news. But we did.
What do you have to do? What do you have to do in order to do that? In other words, do you have to, in effect, relive this murder to get to the information?
No,
or?
We are not like that. I know there are psychics that work that way, almost like a movie, and they're in that
That's
crime.
Right. Yes, right.
But fortunately, we don't work like that. Because we're automatic writers, we write the information out. And it just flows like, you know, you're writing a novel, almost.
So, when you sit down in front of a pad of paper and you start writing, do you do it together or separately, by the way?
We almost always do it
together.
Because we're joined by 7 cords of energy.
But if we're in 2 different rooms, we'll get the exact same information. Doesn't matter where we are.
It's just further amplified by working side by side.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Have you gone through any studies? Has any university come to you and sort of put you through a bunch of testing?
When we were students of painting in Italy, we went to the Gemelli Institute, and they took pictures, and we saw twins in jars and things like that. But, you know, we were never really given the psychological tests by anyone.
No, and never since we became professional psychics have we been approached, which I think is very interesting.
Do you ever see things that scare you?
Yeah, I'm not so afraid now. I think what scares me the most is the murder cases, because then you're always thinking you're a target for someone.
Yeah, not too many things scare us, we have to be honest. A lot of people have trouble even doing medium work or being involved in it, and we think it's quite fascinating. It's just another level of being, of spiritual being. And,
medium work.
Medium work, communicating with the other side. This is spirit. And we find that all very interesting and comforting,
mm-hmm.
to know that the spirit survives death and to be able to actually help a loved one see that they have survived death. So we're not really scared by the woo-woo stuff. We never really were.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
The woo-woo stuff, you call it.
Some people would call it. It's just all fascinating to us. It's just all information. Everything is information.
Maybe there's another way you could explain this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Woo-woo stuff. Do you mean by, for example, talking to people who have passed on, or what do you mean?
Yes, talking to discarnate spirits, spirits who have passed on into the third astral entry-level plane. That's usually where we communicate. To that immediate astral plane, which is right here. It's right here, right in a band around Earth. It's really not way far up in the sky, as people think heaven to be. It's really right here on a different vibration. It's vibrating at a much higher rate, and therefore we cannot see the beings on that level. But it's right here. And we can access certain spirits. We don't always want to access certain spirits because, you know, perhaps they've just died in a traumatic accident. Their spirit has not really recovered and been healed. So we feel sometimes it's an invasion of their privacy. But in certain instances, I think the spirits are happy to come through to loved ones and communicate through us as a conduit.
Are most spirits happy? Or do you encounter a lot of very, very sad spirits?
I would not say most are happy, no. I would say probably half and half.
Half and
because,
half.
Because you don't really become happy by virtue of death. You pretty much take it with you, whatever whatever you your state of mind and emotions were when you at the time of death is what you pretty much bring to the spirit world. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Sometimes we'll actually start crying when a spirit being is crying and connecting with a loved one. We'll actually take on the emotion and we'll have tears coming down. And that's not like me. I don't cry normally.
So you feel that pain?
Yes, we do. We do feel it somatically.
Very much so, yeah.
Which is part of the reason this work is so difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of good and bad. I mean, don't you come out of that sort of drained?
Oh, absolutely. That's the word I was going to use, Art. It's very draining, and people don't realize that. Because we're using all our energy, our psychic energy, to pull in this higher vibration frequency, which is really about connecting. We're raising our vibration to the point where we can bring in such a spirit, and it is very, very draining for us.
What do you say to fundamentalist Christians who would say to you, you are false prophets, any prophet that is not accurate 100% of the time, you've heard it a million times, I'm sure,
Oh yes. Is
a false prophet?
Well, we're not here to convince anyone.
I don't think any prophet is 100% accurate.
Yes,
we've been told by three very well-known psychics that we were Nostradamus. And so, if you know, I have a tendency to believe that. I do believe that many of his prophecies are still correct. I think his prediction for the end of the world in 3037 is probably the closest prediction of all that have been made.
All right. Ladies, hold tight. We'll be right back, and we'll go to the phones. I'm Art Bell.
Guess there's no use in hanging around. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town.
By the way, I'm going to roll that Mackinac video when we come back out of this break. So if you have access to streaming video, you might want to get on up there about now. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
Loving you, call up some girl I used to know. After I met him in the castle ghost, they jumped for their lives in the hole.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
Good morning, everybody. Terry and Linda Jameson are here. They are psychic twins, and they've had a look at what's coming for us from the Akashic Records with regard to the automatic writing they've both done. Whether together or separate, it comes out the same. So obviously, we're about to take a peek into the future and see what awaits us. All right, back now to our psychic twins, Terry and Linda Jameson. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We all would like to know what is coming. We're coming to the thousand-year change.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're going to, it's optimistic, but we're going to get to experience that, and not a lot of generations do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something very special, and a lot of people are pretty concerned about what lies ahead. A lot of people feel something is coming. They don't quite know what it is.
Yes.
Maybe it's the thousand-year change that makes them feel that way only, or maybe something really is coming. Which is it?
Well, we don't predict the Armageddon that so many have, although we feel that the next several years are going to be full of disasters and all of that. Definitely many natural disasters coming next year. But we also see very positive things, like an AIDS cure in 2002.
Oh.
And a cancer cure, especially for breast cancer by 2007, for example. A breast cancer drug breakthrough in 2003. So many positive things as well.
Wait a minute now. Cancer when?
Cancer cure, hopefully 60% by 2008. and breast cancer controlled or prevented by 2007.
Wow. So a lot of medical breakthroughs.
Yes,
quite a few. I mean, we'll see a cloning of body parts in the not-too-distant future.
Boy, that one's already almost underway.
Yes,
right.
It is. Yes.
And I'm not so sure that it's a good thing. I'm not so sure it's a bad thing. I don't know.
Right.
I'm not sure. I try to, you know, abstain from judgment in the whole thing, but I don't really see a common cloning of individuals, per se, of people, more so the body parts and diagnostic chambers where health problems can be assessed and headed off at the pass, predicted. One interesting thing we did get was that there would be a two-way voice communication with other dimensions as early as 2030, a high-tech direct transmission of information from the astral realm that would enable us to communicate with UFOs and alien life.
Wow. Now, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my guests feel that UFOs and other phenomena that we discuss on this program
mm-hmm.
are commonly sourced in the astral realm.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always wondered when there will be and if there ever could be a breakdown between the two or even a communication established between the two. And you're telling me by 2030
yes.
we will have accomplished that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. It's going to be quite exciting. And I believe that most of the energy that we do receive from UFOs, higher intelligence, is benevolent. We don't see it as particularly harmful or evil. Some we do, yes, certainly, but I think by and large we will see a fairly friendly communication overall.
Well, while it's true that most of what we don't understand scares the you-know-what out of us, the fact of the matter is there have been accounts of abductions that don't sound really friendly.
No, those are not. And we've experienced abduction as well. But we do feel that communication with UFOs is going to step up greatly within the next 7 years. So it'll be almost commonplace.
Another aspect of ufology that's puzzled ufologists for a long time
mm-hmm.
is the fact that so many times these craft are so solidly there to be seen,
mm-hmm.
do things aircraft absolutely could not do that we have,
mm-hmm.
and then disappear.
Disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right. Yes, they dematerialize.
That's right. And what would explain that would be dimensional travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And time travel, right.
Sure. So... Oh, there'd be something to ask you about. So is that the same thing as time travel?
I think it is, but I'm not an expert on that subject at all. I think it can be explained by the same sort of physics. I uh-huh. do see dematerialization and time travel being possible in this society, on our civilization, over the next 300 years. I don't see it before that.
20. Do you have any idea what would occur? I mean, it's really curious to imagine a sudden communication with the astral realm.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about communication to the astral realm, are we talking about the ability, for example, to communicate with those who have passed on?
Yes, exactly. They're spirit beings
uh-huh.
on the astral plane.
Boy, that would complicate things severely.
Well, think of it this way, Art. You could have a communication with a murder victim, say, alive in the third astral plane,
right.
who will be able to give testimony against their killers through this technology, tape recorders and
computer
instruments, yes, that receive a direct transmission from spirit beings. So the whole judicial process would have to change, consequently.
Boy, it sure would. You know, it would be a long time before such a thing would be admitted to the courts, but
right,
it,
yes.
would change. It would also, though, have some other effects. For example, when a man dies and leaves his widow, she grieves for a period of time, and then she gets remarried.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if she could still, you know, if she knew she could communicate to her ex,
mm-hmm.
might that not sort of get in the way of
Yes, it can, and it does, and we're mediums as well, and mediums have experienced that problem because people are not always encouraged by the ability to communicate with the dead.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm. And your dead partner might not be real wild about you flying around in your new little sports car from the insurance money and meeting some new guy.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, it really would have a lot of societal effects that you can barely even imagine.
It complicates me.
I would think so.
Huh.
Actually, the spirits, actually, once they pass into the astral realm, don't really want that much to do with earthly beings.
Now,
and,
isn't that something?
It's a little surprising.
Yeah, most of the recent movies I've seen have actually indicated that is the case, that they really want release from the ties to this world.
Yes, they do. They're as involved in their world as we are with ours, and it's, you know, only, I think, few spirits that are kind of hanging around on the lower astral, almost ghost spirits that are more involved with us, not the ones who've really passed over to the other side.
Can you give me any insight as to why? I mean, we just passed Halloween. I did a lot of ghost shows. I firmly believe that there are ghosts, and we wonder about the nature of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether these are repetitive echoes of what was,
right,
or whether they're actual spirits here still trapped in some way.
Yes. Well, we think they're both. We've done ghost busting, and we've talked about it in films and so on. But we do feel that it's a combination of things. There are many different types of apparitions or hauntings. There are the memory recorded in space and time, and there are also clearly spirits that are trying to communicate from the other side, and there are the lower life forms that are interfering, but they just are too afraid to pass on to the astral.
Hmm. What do you think would happen if one of you died?
I definitely think we would establish a psychic communication. We did a reading for the Del Rubio triplets, and a month later, one of them died unexpectedly, and they're able to communicate.
You twins did readings for triplets?
That's right.
That was pretty trippy.
Did you foresee what was going to occur?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, but we don't get that kind of information on national television.
Oh, this was a national TV thing?
Yes.
Oh, my. That, I guess, was going to be almost my next question. If you see something bad, something really, really negative,
yes,
you see somebody is going to die,
yeah,
you don't tell them?
It depends. Sometimes we feel that it's best not to, because a lot of people just can't handle that kind of thing. And many people say, don't tell me. I don't want to know when I'm going to die.
Some people actually do say, I want to know when I'm going to die, and we will do our best to tell them what we're getting.
How close can you get?
Pretty close. We've gotten really close many times. We've lost a lot of friends over the years to AIDS and so forth, and we've almost always been able to predict when they would die.
Huh.
So it's fairly accurate.
With the advances they've made in AIDS, a treatment, they at least seem to be keeping people alive for a longer, much longer period of time.
And right.
They're almost saying that an AIDS diagnosis now is no longer a death sentence.
No, it's not.
And so that must get reflected in the readings you do for people in that situation.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yes, it does. Also, there are so many breakthroughs in medical technology. It's harder and harder to see people dying of certain things because by certain periods, because people are living longer. We actually predict a time when people will be living to 150 years old within the next 75 years.
With a quality of life that is good?
That remains to be seen. I think there will be increasing, obviously, quality of life as the millennia goes on. But I think it's interesting. We are seeing all kinds of things in terms of cures for MS and cerebral palsy and muscular dystrophy and things that used to have no cure, spinal cord injuries.
Right.
we see a great progress being made within the next decade.
Well, I know they're very close, and I was just up at the Somewhere in Time reunion. Christopher Reeves was one of the stars of that Somewhere in Time movie, which I love so much, and he is hopeful that in his lifetime, and not very far into the future, there is going to be a cure, and he's going to get up and walk.
Yeah. I don't know about him walking, although he is pioneering for the others, and I do think that other people will within the decade.
Absolutely. I think he will walk, but I think he'll still need to be aided, you know, with the various equipment. And I don't really see the miracle that everyone's hoping for, unfortunately.
Okay. So not all the news is good by a long shot.
No. By no means. We're seeing a stock market crash.
Oh, when?
Well, it's pretty clear around 2004, 2005 at the latest.
Yeah.
And actually, astrology does support this in some of my research. So it's very likely. Now, prophecy is a prediction of events based on the present, and it's not really a fixed thing. In other words, we do have free will. We can change our destiny. We totally believe this.
I have interviewed many, many prophets, ladies, and some of the best, Gordon Michael Scallion and Lori Toy, and a lot of the very best out there, and they all say the same thing, that prophecy is not fixed in stone, that it can change. But as you get closer to an event, it begins to get locked into stone as you get very close to the event.
Uh-huh.
You believe that's true?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We believe strongly, as we're Buddhists, actually, and we've been practicing Buddhism for 15 years, and we believe that we can collectively change a destiny, as it were. We can change our collective karma or destiny.
Nichiren Shoshu Soken Gakkai?
That's correct.
Namyoharan Gekyo.
You're familiar.
Yes.
Well, I lived in Japan for a decade.
Oh, how about
that's
that?
Interesting. Uh-huh.
Then you're very familiar with this,
I am very familiar.
Ah.
And really, it is a religion that suggests that you can have in this lifetime what you want materially and from a career point of view or your love life or whatever else, and that if you concentrate and chant, you can produce these things in your life now, correct?
That's part of it, absolutely. It's really about attaining personal happiness in this life so that we don't need to keep repeating the same negative patterns lifetime after lifetime. Mm. It's an acceleration of changing one's karma on the ninth level of consciousness. It's very powerful. We can, yes, attract what we need. Sometimes we don't attract what we want. But that is, I think that's a misunderstanding of this particular practice. We can't always attract exactly what we want, but it usually is what we need to change our karma.
Why do you think this particular religion that you practice, which I'm familiar with, is any more powerful than other altered states of consciousness or prayer or intense concentration on attaining a goal?
I'm not sure I believe it is more powerful. There was a time when I used to say it was, but I've really broadened my scope. I think both of us have. And I think there are many ways to achieve a goal in this sense. And, for us, it's certainly the practice of chanting has certainly opened us up to a greater awareness and probably is the reason we're psychics today.
But it's simply another altered consciousness that allows doors to be opened.
That's right.
Yes. Well said.
It's a way of being in the world differently, seeing beyond appearances, so that you can really see what's true. And I think that's enlightenment.
Now, do you think that people could do as you do without being twins? In other words, the twin aspect of it, In what way does that differ from what an individual might be able to do themselves with the same sort of concentration efforts?
Good question.
Yes, it is a good question, and I'm not sure that I know how to answer that.
I think it certainly is a very important thing that we're twins, because we can each predict, and coming up with the exact same times, years, dates, locales, countries, past life, future. We have identical matching information. I mean, it's harder to dispute that.
It's a verification, an
instant
verification
right.
of the information coming through when the other gets the exact same thing.
Have you ever wondered, though, whether the information that you're gleaning is not coming through one of you and being telepathically transferred to the other?
We've thought of that.
Yeah.
That has occurred to us. One time we conducted an experiment, and Linda followed me all around the kitchen for maybe 20 minutes, and she gave me 7 directions telepathically, and I performed every single one of them correctly. So I know I'm a good receiver.
Well, okay, then what did you conclude from that?
That it was interesting, because I couldn't, do the same thing when I was following her. So I was the receiver, clearly. But I really do feel that we both have, we're getting in contact with the same guys, with the same information, whatever it is.
Yeah,
I really think we have
the proof
at equal
is
level.
In the result, in the outcome,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we've found to be so. People calling and saying you were right, I did lose my job exactly when you said, or I did get cancer as you predicted, and so that's where we know something else is going on besides just picking up on the others.
Gotcha. All right. Hold on, ladies. Stay right there. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
Morning, everybody. We've got the Jameson twins here. And they can look into the future for you, and that is what they are doing. Now, we don't do individual readings for anybody. We don't do that on the air. But general questions that would apply to all of us and our collective future are certainly welcome. And we've heard a lot already. Something very inspirational about this song. I don't know what it is. It kind of did not exactly fit the movie, I thought, but boy, it's a heck of a song. Stay right there. More Jameson Twins coming right up. Well, all right, back now to the Jameson Twins. Here they are once again. Ladies?
Yes, hi, Art.
All right, lots and lots of people want to talk to you, so
great.
Let us adventure forth. First time caller line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, my name is Daniel. I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Hello, good morning, ladies and Art. My question was about the year 2000. I was wondering what they thought was going to happen, whether there were going to be any riots or anything during then, or major computer crashes, whether it be in the United States or around the world.
Really, really good question. Everybody is up in the air about the whole Y2K question, what it's going to bring, how much disruption there's going to be. It's a pretty near-term event, ladies. What do you see?
I don't see a lot of that. I don't see a lot of disruption. I don't see a lot of computer crashes. I think it's minimal. It's going to be minimal compared to the fear that surrounds it.
Yeah. We're not seeing tremendous problems with that. just sort of a few fires people need to put out, but I don't see anything really
Nothing
major.
Really major, huh?
No.
It's funny you're calling from Tennessee, because we did see a race riot in Tennessee in the year 2001.
A race riot
yes.
in Tennessee?
Yes.
In 2001?
Yeah. That's the only place we actually got a specific answer to when we asked about race riot.
Huh.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee, boy, that's seems unlikely, but an interesting prediction.
Yeah, I was surprised, too.
Wild Card Line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Good morning.
Hey, Art, this is John in Atlanta.
Hi, John.
Hi. John.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Y'all said y'all were Buddhist, right?
Right.
Yes.
Do y'all practice any particular form of meditation?
Other than Buddhism, you mean?
Well, I was just wondering what y'all's particular form of meditation, because I'm trying to figure out how to do it myself, and maybe I can get some advice from you.
If you're interested in the Buddhism, you can contact the local Soka Gakkai, SGI, it's called, SGI USA, in Nashville. They have a center there, and you can just attend meetings, and it's free. If you're interested in meditating, it's very, very simple. All you need to do is sit quietly, and the object is to still your mind and just breathe in slowly to the count of four and exhale slowly to the count of four and try to focus on your breathing. And it's that simple. There are many, many books on meditation. I recommend you pick up, you know, a basic introductory book on meditation. There are so many different types. But that's, you know, if you can do 15 minutes of just focusing on your breathing every day, it'll make an enormous difference.
Okay, thank you. Do y'all know who the next president might be?
Oh, now there's a good question.
No one asked
when someone would ask that.
Yeah, the presidential elections are looming ahead. They may be a crashing bore. Actually, that's what I think they're going to be, is a crashing bore. But
yeah.
What do you ladies think? Do you have any idea of the outcome?
Yeah, I do think Bush is going to win.
Yeah, we both do.
Bush, huh? Mm-hmm. Another Bush.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What do you think?
Well, I have no specific prediction. I have some trepidation. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Larry from Montreal.
Montreal, yes,
hi,
sir.
Yeah. I got a question about the Quebec separation from Canada.
Oh, yes.
Could it occur?
In other words, he wants to know if Quebec will, in fact, separate from the rest of Canada.
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think so. I'm getting a yes right now, and I think it could happen within a year.
Within a year?
Yeah.
Within 1 year, sir, and the answer is yes.
1 year?
Yes.
I'm very surprised, because I was thinking that maybe there will be more opposition to that.
Would you be happy about that prospect or not happy?
Personally, me?
Yes.
Yes. Except I would like a government who is more responsible than the one we have right now.
Uh-huh. Well,
we have rough time.
Most of them begin that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, all right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Where are you?
Oh, this is Don in Honolulu.
Okay.
I'd just like to ask the twins if they see any problems or conflicts regarding the two Koreas in the near future.
Regarding Korea?
Regarding the two Koreas, mm-hmm.
Any problems, let me ask?
Any problems or just conflicts that might be coming up in the near future that maybe someone really shouldn't be going there?
Okay. Next year, I would avoid going there around February, March.
I'm not really feeling strong feelings about Korea right now. Sorry, I can't be more specific than that. I don't see a big breakdown in the communist leadership structure for a while.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you are. First time caller line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
My name's Freddie. I'm calling in from Beaumont, Texas.
Okay.
I had two questions. The first one is really quick. I'm just wondering, as far as honing up psychic abilities, what would you guys recommend?
Okay. A good book to start with is The Psychic Pathway by Sonia Choquette.
Okay.
Very good book for the beginner, I think. And if you have a very good, reputable local psychic that you can study with, that's the best.
Yeah. My second question relates to the third secret of Fatima. I've been hearing about that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not.
I've heard something to that effect.
Basically, it's supposed to be some sort of secret that was presented to a nun in the early part of the century, and she was supposed to take down this secret, give it to the Pope, and he was supposed to open it in 1960 and explain to the world what it was. It was some sort of dire warning or admonishment. And,
that's right. So very serious that the Pope would not relate it.
Yeah.
That's really true. The third secret of Fatima, it's called, ladies.
Right.
What do you get from that?
What's your question? Are you asking if it will be true if it'll be related?
Well, I don't know. I guess either one is good. In other words, do you come up with such a secret being held? It's widely believed it's true. Popes have actually talked about it.
I believe it's true.
And is it, as they have said, so awful, whatever it is, that they can't or won't relate it?
I see. I do believe it's true. I believe it exists, and I believe it's in their possession. I don't see it happening.
Okay.
Nor do I.
All right. Interesting.
A lot of hype.
Yeah, a lot of hype. All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. This is Jay calling from Bakersfield. How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Great.
I was wondering if the Twins had any ideas on the cause of the plane crash.
Oh, yeah. We sure do.
It is a terrorist act.
Yeah, we saw a bomb in a suitcase. And the owner of the suitcase did not board, and it was suitcase was brought on board in L.A. And then today I noticed in the news that they were actually using bomb-sniffing dogs in L.A., so we feel like they're on to something, too.
Yeah, I heard something, either I read it in the paper or heard it on the news or something about one passenger that had got off in New York, the only passenger that had got off in New York.
That person, I feel, didn't have anything to do with it.
No, actually, that person was some sort of airline counseling person.
Yeah. He worked for talking to families of
crash victims.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
That was our sense. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And another question: Would it be okay to ask if you have any lucky numbers for me?
We don't do numbers.
No. Thank you very much. No, we're not doing any personal readings, sir. Thank you, though. Are there lucky numbers, though, generally?
Well, we don't deal with numbers. We kind of feel like it's our psychic gift is a gift that's used more for spiritual reasons and prophecy. And if you use it for gambling purposes, then we feel you could lose the gift.
It's kind of a misuse of the power.
That is also something I hear from so many who do prophecy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson sisters. Hi.
Good morning. This is Daniel Passel.
Daniel.
Two real quick questions. First is, what do you're practicing Buddhist. What do you feel about the practicing of the craft? And also, with that in mind, where does the Roman Catholic stand in the next millennium?
All right. The practicing of the craft.
You're talking about Wicca or witchcraft?
Yes, that's what he's talking about.
Well, I don't know much about witchcraft. I personally have nothing against white magic. It doesn't interfere necessarily with the Buddhist practice. We feel that there's no way that you can create harm through practicing Buddhism at all. So I don't see that practicing witchcraft is harmful unless it's black magic or something.
Very interesting. All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Keith from Kansas City.
Hi, Keith.
Hi. I was wondering if they knew who brought down TWA Flight 800 and if we'll have alien contact in the future.
Well, that's a great question.
Okay. First of all, TWA 800.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that one?
Well, we had a client on that flight, and actually we felt that there was a bomb very distinctly involved in that flight, and for some reason they're keeping it a secret, but it's, they have to know.
Sabotage.
They have to know. And it's interesting because I say we had a client on the flight and she communicated to us after it crashed because we're mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So she told us what happened.
And you know, it's funny because TWA 800 aside, I've done a lot of programs on that. Mm-hmm. This latest crash seems to be thrust reverser problems. It really does look that way. TWA now, TWA, I'm wrong. CNN actually is now reporting that one of the flight crew reported one of their trouble with one of the thrust reversers in Los Angeles.
Right.
Which is pretty suspect, frankly. But I have another source that's telling me that it was a bomb.
Uh-huh.
Just as you ladies suggested.
Is that right?
Saying the exact same thing about Flight 800.
Interesting.
So it is interesting, yes. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hi.
Hi, Jeff from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello, ladies and Art. I just had a question for you, and pardon me if you've already covered it, but when will the truth about Roswell come out from a very world-renowned public official?
All right. Actually, that question winds into the other question the person asked that we did not really answer. And that question was about ET contact.
Uh-huh.
So really they are sort of one and the same. What do you all have to say about ET contact? Will it be made?
Oh, yes.
Oh, definitely.
There will be a great deal of ET contact in the year 2012, we're feeling. A great deal of communication at that point. I also feel that the Roswell issue will be made more plain around that time, around the same time, 2012, 2013.
Right.
Not sooner. I'm not seeing the government coming forth and being honest before that time.
Huh. All right. Ladies, hold on for just one second.
Yes.
I think that I've got something or another that I've got to accomplish here, or do I? Let me see. Did I do this? I don't know. It's a good question. I think not. So I think I better do it right now. We'll be right back. I thought that I had done that, and so indeed I have. Ladies, you're back on the air again, and here's another call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Sisters. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, how you doing?
All right. This is Tyrone from St. Louis. Actually, I was calling to find out. There's a lot of talk around here about an earthquake around
St. Louis.
Okay, in St. Louis,
Missouri?
Yeah, well, it was predicted a while back, and then now there's started talk again.
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
All right. I was just wondering. They started talking about it again, so.
Who are you listening to?
Huh?
Who's talking about it?
Actually, the news around here started it again.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah, they started saying, well, there's minor tremors and all of this,
see.
And
yeah,
talking like there's going to be a major earthquake again.
Are they? Really?
Yeah, one, not again, but, you know, one coming.
I don't even think there's a major fault there, is there?
Actually, we have one just south of us. I can't remember the name of it.
Uh-huh.
But there's one about 75 miles south of us.
All right. That's right. I believe there is a big one, but it's not gone in a long, long time.
Right. Yeah. They said it's been over 100 years.
That was the earthquake, I believe, that changed the course of the Mississippi, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So... That's probably why I was kind of concerned when they started talking about it.
Of course. All right, sir, thank you.
Hey, you have a good day.
Take care, and I guess you can rest easily. The Jameson Twins are here, psychic twins. Does that surprise you? It does not me. We're talking about what's coming soon and in the near term.
I'm Art Bell.
And we're doing what this song talks about. We're running in the night.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
And you're getting a nice little peek into the future. The Jameson twins are here. They're psychic, and they are indeed identical twins as well. So, more of that in a moment. Final segment now with the psychic twins, the Jameson sisters, Terry and Linda. And here they are once again. Ladies, are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Here they come. First time caller line, you're on the air with the Jameson twins. Hi. Yeah.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Jane from New York.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Art. Hi, twins.
Hi, Jane.
I have a question concerning the West Nile-like virus. If you know what it is, and what will happen with it.
The one in New York?
Yes.
Okay. What's your question? What's going to happen with it?
Well, what? No one quite knows where it came from and what it is. They're calling it a West Nile-like virus.
Right.
But
apparently it's modified in some way from the original West Nile virus, and they're all wondering where it's from and where it's going, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ladies?
Wow, let me ask.
We're getting a lot of those kinds of things, new diseases popping up, things in the environment that we've never seen before and
yeah,
we don't much like seeing. What do you see on this?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more mutations in terms of viruses going on in the next couple decades especially. I feel like this one will be under control in about 6-7 months.
Yeah,
how do you feel, Terry?
Even sooner, I mm-hmm. see. And I really don't think there are any new illnesses. I think that everything has been around forever, and it just kind of keeps popping up in different forms.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think it's going to get out of hand, and I don't see germ warfare involved with this particular one.
All right. Good. That's good to hear. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with the Jameson twins. Hello.
Good morning, Art, Linda, and Terry.
Morning.
Morning.
My name is Mike. I'm calling from Omaha, Nebraska. On KFAB News Radio 1110.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
And I just want to know if you foresee the return of the 10th planet in the near future and what would happen when it shows up.
Do you know what the 10th planet is, ladies?
I don't, actually.
It's Sitchin's work. He thinks that the human race originated from the visitation of an alien race that lived on a planet that returns every... How many years, sir?
3,600.
3,600 uh-huh. years, yes. Uh-huh. Anything on that at all?
I don't see that returning at all. Do you, Linda?
No, I don't. I know that Lyra was a planet that was thought to inhabit Earth, colonize Earth 5 times. I don't know if that's related, but I don't really see this 10th planet thing bearing out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good. All we can do is ask. East
yeah.
of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson twins. Hi.
Yes, this is Marty calling from Cincinnati, Ohio.
How are you?
Good. I wanted to ask, earlier you had said something about young spirits having problems with the faster vibrations of the world.
Right, yes, indeed.
And what are some things that a young spirit can do to cope with this?
I would definitely put meditation, some kind of meditation first on your list. It's so important for people to be grounded. And another thing that we help people do is something called root walking. All you do is picture roots growing from your feet down, halfway down into the earth and wrapping around large crystals.
Huh.
And try to do that during the day, throughout the day. Even when you're walking, you are grounded.
Yes.
It's so important.
Daily meditation and prayer for groundedness and protection, psychic protection.
And really ask your guides to help you stay centered.
This is a young soul country, by the way. It's a young soul planet, actually. Very few old souls actually reside on our planet.
Yes, so I've heard. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins.
Hi, this is Nadine calling from Newport Beach.
Nadine,
I listen
can you
to KABC 790.
Of course.
Yeah. And I also practice Buddhism.
Okay, you're gonna have to screech at it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay now?
Much better.
Okay. Well, I practice Buddhism too. I'm an SGI member as well.
Yay!
Up here, yeah.
Great.
And I wanted to ask you, about 10 years ago, I used to go to a psychic in Colorado Springs, and she kept talking about world teachers, and one in particular that she would mention was Maitreya, saying that he would return. And she didn't really delve into it that much, but I just heard something on the radio today. I've been hearing things a little bit now coming out, talking about this Maitreya returning, being one, just one of the world teachers, one of many teachers that have come.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything on that?
I have not heard a thing about that. I psychically am feeling that he won't, but that's mm-hmm. just what I'm getting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk about the second coming of Christ and the Antichrist and all this, and we feel that the Antichrist will actually take form of six different bodies.
Oh, really?
Six different human beings.
Huh.
Yeah, within the next, say, 80, 85 years.
Wow.
We'll see evidence of that. But it will not be a single individual as such, somebody we would recognize as a Jesus entity.
Yeah.
But the Maitreya thing, curious about that. I've never heard that. Have you, Art? Art?
Yeah.
Oh, have you heard of the Maitreya thing?
Yes, I've heard of it, of course, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I was just curious if you had heard anything about that at all.
Yeah, no, I don't really see that as being a prominent occurrence in this coming millennium.
However, when I close my eyes, I do see a child in your life.
Yes, there is. He just woke up.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Very noisy.
First time caller line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hello.
Oh, yeah, this is Doug from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, Doug.
Yeah, I was wondering if there'd be a disarmament of America anytime soon.
What's the question?
He's wondering whether America is going to disarm.
Yes, but not for many, many decades.
Maybe 5 decades.
Five decades.
6 decades, exactly.
So most of us will not see it in our lifetime.
That's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hello.
Hi, this is Mike from Joliet, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
First of all, the fault down by St. Louis is called the New Madrid fault. You might check the records.
Some people say New Madrid.
Yeah. And secondly, what I was concerned with is any tips on how to get into an astral travel state and to talk to my guides and higher ups.
I'm not an astral travel person, but I know that there are books written on that, and I don't specifically.
Or any other tips for accessing your guides?
Hello,
connecting with guides. Did you say?
Yeah, I didn't get it either, sir.
Or any other tips for accessing your guides or your higher self?
Accessing guides.
Yes.
The best way that I know is to just practice going into a very quiet meditative state and just dialoguing and get in the habit of asking questions, and eventually you'll start sensing answers or hearing them as thoughts. And that's the best way, just practicing.
Ask for clarity on your mission, Mike, and ask for specifics as to the direction you should be on or be taking in the near future, and specifics as to where you should be placed. And you will receive help. It's inevitable.
All right. Ask and you shall receive, huh?
Yeah.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Jim in Homestead, Florida.
Okay.
I have a question, but I have something about the Miami Circle. Would they have any information about that, but let me say first, Art, I don't know if you know that just about 12, 14 hours ago, the state scientists have authenticated it to be 2,000 years old.
Well, that's
or more.
Actually, sir, that's a reaffirmation. They already had done carbon dating that took it back 2,000 years.
Right. Well, and then they say that by today we'll go beyond that even.
Yep, that's right. No, right. I'm well aware of that. Thank you. And that's a new report out today, but it's sort of a reaffirmation of an older report. Do you gals know what the Miami Circle is?
No, I'm sorry.
It's an ancient artifact that was found on land that was destined to be developed into some modern something or another, and they've stopped construction on it. So it's something that you might take a look at when you get a chance.
Okay.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hi.
Hi there. Any chance of getting on the air?
You are on the air, sir. When I said you're on the air with the Jameson Twins, that's what it means.
Okay. I just wanted to say I'd like them to generalize a little more on the upcoming events of national disasters or anything like that. I'm sort of making a list, and I'd like to elaborate on that.
And you'd like to check it twice. All right. The upcoming disasters that you've chronicled.
Okay. Just briefly, are you talking about natural disasters?
Well, natural and unnatural.
And unnatural.
Sure.
Hey. Yeah. We're seeing a lot of natural disasters in terms of earthquakes and hurricanes. Blizzards and earthquakes coming up, especially within the next 10 to 12 years, a lot of activity like that because of the global warming. We are seeing various terrorist attacks on federal government, federal buildings.
Particularly South Carolina or Georgia.
Really?
By July 2002. And also the New York Trade Center, the World Trade Center in 2002.
Really?
With a terrorist attack. And, so that's
pretty much. We're seeing school shootings, December 99 in Washington, Detroit in May 2001, Texas in about 6 months, where six will die.
Yeah.
Also Houston, or school shootings in Houston, Tennessee, Alabama. In 2002, Alabama, Boston and Omaha. We're also seeing Nebraska in 7 years, sorry.
So you're seeing a lot of that, I'm
yes,
afraid.
Yes, really a tremendous amount of activity with the school shooting, school violence.
Hmm.
There's an assassination attempt in 2004 or 6, and
yes,
again 2017 or 18, a very high likelihood of endangerment to the president, but I don't feel it'll be successful.
Okay. You know, many times after something like this is said, I get a visit from the Secret Service.
Oh.
And I have to always go back and say, look, we were dealing with prophecy, somebody who had visions or whatever, and they go and they check it out, and they say thank you very much, but inevitably they get a visit.
So
we didn't get you in trouble, Art.
Wild card line, that's right. You're on the air with the Jameson sisters. Hello.
Hi, my name is Marty. I'm calling from Sacramento, California.
Marty, I can barely hear you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
Okay, I'm a visionary astrologer. I look at a chart and I see things.
Right.
And by the way, Art, I want to tell you, you're right on target being a Gemini and interviewing the psychic twins. Good
right.
for you.
Right.
And I did foresee you leaving the air last October.
Yes.
And I wrote it down in a letter to myself and sent it to myself, and I have a sealed envelope with the information.
Really?
Yeah, would you be interested in it?
I would indeed.
Yes.
How best to get it to you?
Well, I give out my address on the air all the time. Do you have it?
Yes, I'd have your post office address in Pahrump.
That'll get it to me.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Okay.
And also for the twins,
yes.
What do you foresee happening May 3rd of 2000 when seven planets line up in the sign of Taurus?
Okay, good question. Mm-hmm. Around May of 2000, we saw a possible stock market dive, a possible crash.
It's a very chaotic time, Marty.
Huh.
May 3rd is a powerful day. Astrologically, I understand. And that is going to create tumult on this planet.
Well, I thought it was May 5th, actually. I think it's May 5th of 2000 when all the planets align.
Marty? Oh, well.
No, I think it's May 5th.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure that's the date of alignment.
Wow. May 5th of 2000. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the Jameson Twins. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
All right.
James, down in San Diego, listening to you on KOGO.
KOGO, yes.
KOGO Radio. I'm really enjoying the program. I just wanted to see how the ladies felt about a couple of issues. I'll just give them all three out.
Just a tiny bit louder, please.
Yeah.
Sure. I can just go ahead. I just wanted to get your opinion on a few things. And one was what your feelings were about the John Bonet murder.
I was waiting for that question.
And the next one, they're all...
hold it.
Okay.
One at a time.
Yeah. One at a time. Well, we definitely saw the parents being involved.
Yes.
From the very beginning.
Wow. Okay, and the
we
next one...
We don't feel they'll be convicted, however.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was, what do you think about the Egyptian pyramids and what they actually meant?
Oh, wow. That's pretty deep.
Yes, it is.
They were supposedly built by Lyrans, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Extraterrestrial energy in part. I mean, guided it.
Well, that may be. We know the Egyptians certainly had a hand in building it because...
Oh, yes.
I've been to the graves of those who built it.
Oh, yes. Egyptians actually did. But there was E.T. guidance.
Well, there was some kind of guidance because they could not have raised those stones. There's no way. Even the Egyptologists, the most conservative of them, say they don't have the slightest idea of how that was done. So you're saying there was intervention?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Listen, ladies, it has been wonderful.
It's been a joy.
I want to give your number out, and it's good until, 10 o'clock Pacific time?
10 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's area code 323-512-5424. That's 323-512-5424. Do you ladies have any plans to get on the internet?
We've been on and off a couple times. We just we're still getting the website to get back on.
When we have the web number, we will give it to you. The web
address.
Address.
Yes.
We will give it to you, Art.
So it is coming back then.
Yeah, in about a week.
All right. Listen, if you suddenly pick up anything that is really going to happen in the very near term.
Right.
You've got my number, and I sure would appreciate a call.
Okay, we'll call you. You'll be the first one.
All right, good enough. Thank you very much. There you have it, folks. That was the Jameson Twins, psychic twins. Very interesting, huh? All right, we're going to break at the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll do a solid hour of open lines, and anything you would like to talk about certainly is fair game. I am running a streaming video of the event at Mackinac Island. I don't know whether you've been catching that or not, and I may choose to run it another day this week, but it is running right now. The trip we made to Mackinac Island, it really was something for the Somewhere in Time 19th reunion. So I hope you're able to get that and at least decipher some of what I captured on video. I'm Art Bell, and this, of course, is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right where you are.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired November 2nd, 1999.
Good morning, everybody, and this is Al Stewart's Year of the Cat. For some reason, it has a lot of meaning for me. I haven't quite nailed it down, but this song means a lot to me. Besides the fact that I love saxophone so much. All right, open lines directly ahead. Anything you want to talk about, fair again. It's back to open lines now. Anything goes. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir. Where are you?
Here on Interstate 5 in California.
Okay.
I'm calling about several things the two women, two ladies we were talking about.
Yes.
Earthquakes in San Francisco. I predicted a few earthquakes myself. Northridge, the Big Bear earthquake. I kind of sensed since this last earthquake a couple of days before.
Mm-hmm.
But all I can do is just a few days before, I can't make no long distance predictions at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested in this writing because I never was much of an artist, and I just started drawing about 5 years ago, and I found out I had some talent.
Well, congratulations. What they were referring to mostly was automatic writing.
Yeah, I understand about that, but I was just wondering if, you know, if I continue writing and practicing, that I could become, you know, really, really good, you know.
Well, I am not the twin, sir, so I don't have the slightest idea. All I would tell you is there's a lot of starving artists out there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. That's all my only advice. If you're dedicated, if you really want to do it, then plow ahead, but know that an awful lot of artists end up starving. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, that New Madrid earthquake was, I think, 4.3.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. It was closer to 8.
I mean, the one just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I see. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting, you know, when you read the, I read the St. Louis Dispatch just a little bit ago to see exactly what happened.
Right.
But they had spook lights, and the rock beneath it created ball lightning before the earthquake, which is...
Well, I've had a lot of guests that have talked about that.
Yeah, and I don't know, that could be... What was the gentleman that predicts earthquakes that you had on your show?
Well, there are many. Jim Berkland is a geologist. Gordon Michael Scallion is a prophet, so I'm not sure who you mean.
I was really referring to Jim.
Jim Berkland,
but,
okay.
Yeah, they found a new fault line under Orange County that's bigger than Northridge, and they're kind of worried about that right now. But he uses the magnetite in animals and
humans, too. We have magnetite as well.
Yeah, in the pineal gland. And I wonder if it would not be statistically better to use bacteria. In a petri dish.
In a petri dish. Well, that's something I guess they could work on. In other words, to watch the behavior of bacteria. Although I would think the magnetite would be more apparent or more influenced in the larger developed mammals, wouldn't you? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. Hello. Art Bell?
Yep.
Wow, I got through. I can't believe it.
Yes, you have.
This is Steve calling from Clearwater, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Listening to you on WLS in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
I got one of those round antenna things at Radio Shack that I can pick you up.
That's quite a reach, isn't it?
Boy, you sound so different on the phone.
I know. That's what everybody says.
But I was going to ask those remote viewing people about...
No, they're not. They're not remote viewers.
They're not remote viewers?
No. They were those psychics.
People,
psychics.
Psychic people, yeah, about the weather, you know, in Florida, because it's getting really cold down here.
Cold?
Yeah, it's cold down here. I can't believe it's cold down here.
What do you call cold?
Well, it's down below 60 degrees.
okay. Well, they're not here anymore, and... I'm sorry to not sound sympathetic and to laugh, but for a lot of people in the rest of the country, 60 degrees is not a frighteningly cold temperature. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, this is Mick from Yakima, Washington.
Hi, Mick.
How's it going tonight, Art?
Just fine.
First time caller myself.
Okay.
I've been listening to you
for about, 5 years, and I've enjoyed every minute of your whole program.
Well, thank
whole
you.
Thing.
Thank you.
And them twin psychics?
Yes.
I have twins in our family, and they're it is true that they're very close. They know when something's, one person's, because one lives in Maine, the other one lives in Seattle, and when one's upset, you know, they all...
Now, are these, and tell me something, are these twins sisters of yours?
No, they're nieces.
Nieces,
all
right. Well, that's easier. I was kind of wondering if, you know, like there's, in a family, if you have a set of twins, if you have two, if you have twins, and then you have a single child, whether the single child feels left out.
Probably. If I was left out, I guess I would know it.
Yeah. Anyway, so you've got some nieces.
Oh, and another thing I was wanting to know about, if you knew about that new discovery in Egypt.
Which new discovery?
Well, there was some news about 2 weeks ago. Somebody was telling me about they discovered another tomb.
Not 2 weeks
ago. A recent
discovery. Yeah, there has been the recent discovery of a tomb.
But they haven't spoke of it. And then I was, I finally got one of these books on taking trips to Egypt and stuff, and I'm trying to get sponsors, see if they could help me out and get me over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on it for about 9 months now.
Well, keep at it. That's all I can say. I went to Egypt, and I found it to be a really interesting place. You cannot go to Giza. You cannot go to the plateau with the pyramids and the Sphinx and all that surrounds it without being affected. It's obvious that something very special occurred there. And you can talk about it until the cows come home. But there is something special, and there was, I believe, as the sisters said, some kind of intervention that occurred. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, my name is Joe from L.A.
Hi, Joe.
I just wanted to suggest a potential show topic.
Okay.
Well, I have a couple of friends. I have actually three old friends who just recently got really heavily involved in this group. It's basically, I don't know if you know what it is, but it's an offshoot of what was the Human Potential Movement in the 70s. It was big in the 70s, 80s. Groups like, I don't know if I should name anything.
Well, probably not.
Probably not, no.
To be safe. Human Potential Movement, huh?
Like the Eastland Institute, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
These groups kind of just disguise themselves as just self-help seminar kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And people really just need to be educated, I think, to what they're getting themselves into and what they're being subjected to.
Well,
it's kind of a vague topic if I can't mention anything, but...
Well, then I can't help you.
Right. Also wanted to mention one other thing. I work at a bookstore.
Yes, sir.
And your book, The Quickening, was shelved under New Age Astrology. And I made sure after a few months of just watching it sit there, I put it under Current Affairs.
I would say it more accurately belongs in Current Affairs.
Yeah, and you know what? After the next time I checked, about three of the copies were gone.
Uh-huh.
And we had only four copies.
Well, there you are. Thank you very much. The Quickening really is... more of a current affair. Actually, it's rather prophetic, considering when it was written, and considering what we're going through now, and that's all I can say. You know, check it out for yourself. Be my guest. It's a good book. I'm still very, very, very proud of that book. I'll have a new one coming out soon. Coming global superstorm. But I really do still recommend, if you can find it, The Quickening. I think you will find it contemporary. I think you will find it eye-opening and somewhat prophetic, though I do not profess to be any kind of prophet. Buster the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. My name is Ben. I'm calling from Moses Lake, Washington.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. You know, I don't call talk shows... But I called one, I live in Washington, and I called one in California because I wanted to spread the word that we just passed an initiative to limit car tabs to $30 a year.
To limit what?
Car registration to $30 a year for everybody, no matter what your car is worth.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be a lot higher. And also, along with that, now that this initiative passed, the state can't raise taxes or increase taxes or come up with new taxes without a popular vote.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so I told this lady in San Francisco, and she said, oh, that sounds like something Ross Perot would come up with. So she totally discounted it. Hmm. And I thought, you know, we in Washington came up with it ourselves. It was an initiative, you know, and it had nothing to do with Ross Perot or some other high roller, you know. We finally got the bull by the horns or something else, you know. And I just don't understand why people have to sit here and go, oh, Ross Perot or Democrat or Republican or, I mean, hey, we got our stuff together, you know.
Sure.
And we finally did something right. And I know, okay, we might have these construction projects on the freeways going over the passes kind of, you know, slowed down, and some things may not get done, and they may not build a Washington State Ferry every year like they have been for the last 10 years. But it's not the end of the world. It just isn't.
I agree.
And, and one more thing. We have the Columbia River up here.
Yes.
In Hanford. The Hanford Atomic Energy Reservation they've decided they don't need a buffer zone anymore because they're not building nuclear bombs.
Right.
So they're debating in Congress what to do with all the land. And, the Democrats want to preserve the river as a national wild and scenic river. And they want the land to be wildlife refuge. The Republicans want to they call it local control. Local control, of course, means development. And so there's a big fight over it going on up here. And
what do you think?
Me, I think this is the only time in my entire life that I trust the federal government. Because they'll lock it up forever. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't trust them, but this is the one time. Because I love that land.
All right. Well, I understand how you feel. Believe me, I have a lot of land out by me that I don't want to see developed. It's BLM land, and I don't want to see encroachment, and I don't want to see it paved over, and I don't want to see it changed. But I temper that with an understanding that that is a view of somebody who has already developed his land. And so I have mixed thoughts about it. On the one hand, you want to see that which remains about you pristine. And on the other hand, you've got to consider the plight of those who wish to develop and get out and away from the city and, you know, develop some of the land that's out here. So, selfishly, I don't want to see it developed because I've already got mine. And I think that's pretty much the way everybody feels. They just don't say it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about Bellingham and the chemtrails.
Yes.
Bellingham, Washington.
We may have William Thomas on the air tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, I know I can't. I'm lucky to get through, and I listen to you all the time. And I just wanted to report that it is so bad here in the Northwest.
That's what I understand. I've been getting a million emails and faxes.
Yep, and when you look at the sky, you don't really see a sky anymore. You see kind of a blanket of chemicals with an occasional glimpse of the real sky.
Yes.
And I do enjoy your programs, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so very much. I don't know what to make of chemtrails. We may have William Thomas on tonight if we can make connections. We've kind of arranged for it. And he's got some very shocking things, which are embargoed until we do the program, so I can't talk about it. But tomorrow night, with a little bit of luck, we'll connect with William Thomas. He was supposed to send me his phone number, and he didn't. Bust of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Craig in Missoula.
Hello.
Missoula, Montana.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, I've been listening for a number of years, and there were a couple of things that came up. One, the guy who just called from Washington State, I wanted to bring up the fact that in Montana we passed a similar law about no new initiatives without a popular vote a couple of years ago, and then the legislature turned around and made it unconstitutional, called it unconstitutional, and threw it out. So I don't want to dampen his parade, but the same thing may happen over in Washington.
Well, either that or, unfortunately, typically, courts also overrule initiatives.
Exactly.
It's happened in California again and again and again, and it really kind of discourages the voter.
Exactly.
Because
well, it did, and here what's happened is we've gotten rid of some of those legislators now that turned against the popular vote, so that's the only way to work within the system on it, I guess. But.
Okay, I appreciate your call,
and
sir.
One other thing, Art.
Yes?
I wondered, it's probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago now, but there was an incident where a guy in Washington had come across what he believed was an alien vehicle, remember, it attacked his dog. And I never heard an update on anything on that, if anything happened.
Well, you're going to get one.
All right. Oh, great.
Because the people involved have contacted me.
Wonderful.
And they would like to do an update, so you can be assured that it will be coming up.
Great. I'll be listening.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
This is Paul from Wisconsin.
Paul from Wisconsin.
Yes. I unfortunately do not have internet. I was wondering if you could tell me what supposedly is going to happen on November 7th, to the best of your knowledge.
All I can tell you is that there is a big rumor that something is going to fall from the sky. Three somethings, actually, will fall from the sky on November 7th. But as far as I know, it is only that, a rumor.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, you bet. Take care.
Bye.
I can't emphasize that enough. As far as I know, it's nothing, folks, except a rumor. But it's a strong and persistent one on the Internet. Do I really think it will happen? Not sure.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from November 2nd, 1999.
Good morning, everybody. Well, from Charlotte, North Carolina, Associated Press reports that the FBI is looking into religious extremists and others fearful of Armageddon and or a New World Order, who may use the millennium coming as a pretext for unleashing a wave of violence. FBI says we're not overreacting, we're not pushing the panic button, but we would be remiss if the U.S. did not prepare itself for this possibility. I agree. An abridged version titled Project MEGIDDO, Megiddo, was released on the FBI's website Tuesday. Many extremist individual and groups place some significance on the next millennium, and as such, it will present challenges to law enforcement at many levels, said the report. The significance is based primarily upon either religious beliefs relating to the apocalypse or political beliefs relating to the New World Order conspiracy theory, in quotes. So they don't believe that. Do you? I'm sure that the Fat Blaster product is exactly what it says it is, but I like the name. Fat Blaster. And it conjures up to me a mental picture of the blowing up of that whale in Oregon. Now, you may not have seen that. It's a classic, classic piece of video. But a giant whale rolled ashore in Oregon. And the Oregon Highway Department was tasked with doing something with the whale. And they couldn't figure out what to do, so they got a whole bunch of boxes of dynamite and they put it on. They put the boxes of dynamite under this whale, threw the plunger. Everybody retreated, and the whale blew up. Oh, man, did it blow up. Giant pieces of whale went soaring thousands of feet, hundreds at least, feet into the air. Took a long time to come back down again. When they did, one big piece of the whale crushed a car. People who were around, including news crews, ran for their lives. Whale blubber was coming down in smelly small hunks as well. And it was an utter disaster. So somehow when I hear Fat Blaster, it calls my vision into mind. Of course, that's not what the product is. On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello, Art. My name is Connie, and I'm phoning from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, that's some accent you have there, Connie. Not typical Vancouver. Where are you from?
From Holland.
From where?
Oh, the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, okay.
Yeah. I want to ask, did I hear those twins right? Did they say something about October, you going off the air or something?
No, that
I'm
was
not
a, no,
sure.
No, dear, that was a caller.
Oh.
And that was it was October of 98.
Oh, no, I'm happy. You almost gave me a heart failure.
I see.
Because I want you to be there on New Year's Eve.
I'm going to be here. As a matter of fact, not only am I going to be here, but I'm going to be here 2, maybe even 3 hours early.
Oh, wonderful. I'm all alone. I live all by myself, and I won't. You will.
Well, then we will
be there.
We will together bring in the new year.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, and take care.
Yeah.
Why would I not be here? Yeah, we'll talk the new year in. Actually, the new millennium, and I don't think it's going to be. I don't think a lot is going to happen that night. I mean, there are going to be intense, gigantic celebrations going on. There's going to be a lot of consternation and worry. But I don't think it's going to be apparent on New Year's Eve. I think that if Y2K is going to bite, it will bite on the first business day after the New Year. And I think that, of course, is going to be the time to watch. When people begin using computer programs that are not compliant. A lot of small companies are going to have a problem. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling from Nebraska.
Okay.
And I was just wanting, I don't know how long I'm going to get my cell phone to work. I'm going to be going into a dead area. But I was wondering if they could update us on Rodney and Everett, the guy that captured the spirit.
Okay, well, I'll say what I can. Had a lot of echo there, too. The last I heard, the spirit is loose. There is no update from the program you heard, unless you had not heard the last portion of it, in which Rodney was released and apparently has moved on to wherever spirits move on to. That was the only update. Rodney is gone. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Mike from Elk Grove Village. Listen to you on WTAM Cincinnati, and then I switch over to TJM, I'm not sure.
WTMJ in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
And it's WTAM in Cleveland, I think you're...
Right, and then I switch to WLS in Chicago.
So you hop all around.
Yep. I just want to tell you something weird that I heard after the plane crash early in the morning about 6 a.m. here.
Yes.
There was a report on ABC radio news that denied that the plane had stopped at Edwards Air Force Base.
Yes, I'm aware of that. They had a report that was there for a while saying the plane had stopped at Edwards, and in fact there were a number of Egyptian Army officers on that airplane, as we now know. But then they said, no, that was wrong. It did not stop at Edwards. What I do think is critical is a story CNN is running now suggesting that one of the flight crew wrote up the thrust reverser as a problem in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, seems like a critical piece of information.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they were denying that, and I thought, plus they only found one body. Maybe they offloaded everybody there and sent an empty plane to New York and then on.
Mm-hmm. I rather doubt that again. I think the Occam's razor principle is operative here. Early in the day, I posted a Chicago Tribune story that I thought was right on the money on my website. And then I thought that was rather confirmed by the CNN story indicating that there was a thrust reversal write-up. And it was disabled, they said, in Los Angeles. Now, you never know about these stories, but it would seem to me if the thrust reverser were deployed in mid-flight, it is one thing that could do exactly what occurred, and that is take an airplane at 33,000 feet, moving 550 miles an hour or so, and send it straight down to the sea in 36 seconds. It would do that. But not too many other things in the world would. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
Is Art there?
I'm the only one here, actually, so. Yes.
Oh, it's not like a live broadcast?
It's a live broadcast, sir.
Yeah, isn't this the Art Bell Show?
Yes, it is.
Oh, isn't it live?
Yes, it is.
So I'm on the air right now?
Yes, you are. You know, when I answer the phone and give you that little hint, I say, hi. Eastern Rockies.
I was on the radio, so I didn't understand if I was on the air or not.
Well, you just confirmed for me what I always tell people. Don't listen to your radio because it will confuse you.
Well, I'm not listening to it anymore.
Good.
This is Brian out of Wisconsin.
Yes, Brian.
And I was wondering, did you watch Monday Night Football?
Yes, I did.
Did you happen to catch the commercial where they actually had... They had a guy walk into a supermarket. He ended up stealing a whole bunch of food. It looked like he was stealing. He walks out of the supermarket, and all of a sudden a security guy touches him and says, sir, you forgot your receipt.
Yeah, I saw it. The implication was that he had stolen all of this, and the security guy was about to bust him. But instead, he just said, sir, you forgot your receipt. Now, what that commercial was saying is that it's not going to... There soon... There won't be any checkout. You just walk past the sensors. It records everything. It debits your account. Cashless society, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, it scared the heck out of me.
Really?
I mean, is that do you think?
I think that would be awfully convenient.
Do you think that's pertaining to the revelation?
No.
About the mark?
No.
About how people can't buy or sell goods unless they have the mark?
No. I mean, it might. I'm not a biblical
expert.
Well,
how would they
expert.
Actually be able to tell, like, it's you? That's what I don't know.
Well...
He just kind of walked... He didn't flash a card or anything.
No, I know.
He just kind of walked out.
I know. I guess I can see where you're coming from, but it sounds awfully convenient.
Well, yeah, but the convenience is, you know, where's the balance between convenience and you'll be damned and go to hell if you do this, you know?
Well... See, why, if you go and you shop for a bunch of stuff and you walk out with it and your account is automatically charged,
mm-hmm.
why is that going to send you to hell?
Well, I'm just saying, in Revelation, you're not supposed to get the mark, supposedly the mark of the beast. And if the mark of the beast, meaning that you can't buy or sell goods unless you have it, I would assume that that's what they're talking about, where if you walk out of a store, you don't show them a card or anything.
It was, I admit, it was a very interesting commercial. Yes, I saw it. All right, we'll toss that out to the audience. He's right. That's exactly what it was. It showed a fellow just apparently stealing. He wasn't really stealing, even though it kind of looked like he was stealing. And he walked out, and the security guy said, sir, you forgot your receipt. When everybody thought he was about to get popped. Or theft. But no. Everything had been recorded and debited, and he had simply forgotten his receipt. So it was sort of sending a message, I guess. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. This is Olin in Culver City, California.
Yes, sir.
A week and a half ago, Linda Moulton Howe was talking about all the animals dying back on the East Coast. There were flocks of pelicans dying, and there were flocks of crows dying.
That's right.
And even the lobster beds in Maine.
By the millions, sir, actually.
Yeah, well, the rivers empty out, and the warm currents from the Gulf of Mexico go up the East Coast and carry the river effluents up to Maine. And I made the connection between the chemtrails being sprayed by the white United Nations cargo planes, and I'm beginning to think that that mixture of germs and viruses that they're spraying all over the country is beginning to kill off all of the wildlife in the air, on the land, and in the sea.
Why would you think they would be doing that?
Well, they're getting ready to kill us all off in this, New Year's Eve, the shut off the electric power plants and declare a crisis and then declare martial law. And
you think so?
Well, yeah, United Nations peacekeeping soldiers from Germany and Russia are already in place in some of the closed military bases.
Yeah, but here's the problem. We're not going to really have a Y2K problem compared to, for example, Russia, which is going to be a complete disaster. So if UN troops are going to be anywhere, they're going to be in Russia, not here.
Well, they should be, but if the New World Order is going to get started, this crisis for the Y2K might be the perfect opportunity to get people to give in with the idea that it's a computer failure instead of a deliberate takeover by turning off the power plants and blocking the highways in and out of main cities.
So you really believe that will occur?
Well, I've heard that all of the police forces and military forces are all on active duty 2 weeks before New Year's Eve and 2 weeks after New Year's Eve, and on the
Well, yeah, but don't you think that that's appropriate for them to do? I mean, really, think about it. They have a job to serve and protect, and how can they protect us if they are not prepared for some kind of disaster?
Well, they're very much prepared. They're being militarized with surplus military equipment going to the local police departments. And they're getting ready for some kind of an uprising or a takeover, one or the other.
Well, I appreciate your view, sir. I don't know that I share it with you, but I appreciate your point of view. Thank you. I don't think that's what they're doing. And in terms of a one-world order, you know, I've said this before, the UN can't even keep control of small countries, much less big countries. Can you imagine the UN being in the U.S. trying to control everybody? Implementing the one-world government and all that baloney, subverting the U.S. government. Hell, we barely even pay dues to the U.N. They're screeching at us for that. And they can't get control of small, weak, third-world countries. They turn tail and run. So how are they going to get control of a nation like ours with 260 million people, most of them pretty damn cantankerous, and the majority of them with guns? I don't see it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy.
How you all doing?
We all are fine.
I see the government was making plans to find out how TV violence and stuff is making a connection with the kids' clothing problems. I done a test on a 14-year-old girl many years ago, seen TV for the first time. Turned out quite interesting.
What were the results?
Oh, this is what I was going to explain. When I first turned the TV on, it was a cartoon. Well, she watched it for a moment, and she didn't show no interest. So I changed the channel. There was a kid demonstrating a new toy. She watched that with interest, and then a soap opera came on. And right in the middle of the soap opera, there were two guys yelling at each other, and she frowned at that noise. Anyway, the one guy shoved the other guy into the armchair, and she turned around and walked out of the barn. That was my oldest cow at that time.
Huh.
So, by the way, that cow I also had in the courtroom back in 74 as a character witness. The United States government tried to accuse me of having to do with a robbery.
It did?
Yes.
And you had nothing to do with it?
Right. I was running a store. I was helping people build a business up.
Yes.
And the store got busted into around 2 in the morning or so, they figure. Anyway, the people didn't wake me up when they broke into the store. I constantly told the owners to come at nighttime, take the money, and put it in a night deposit. Either that or make arrangements with the local police department.
So they tried to hang this on you?
Right.
But they did not?
Well, when they tried to accuse me of having to do with the robbery, I told one of the owners of the store, the day I have to appear in the courthouse is the day I quit. And like I'm talking to you, about a month later, he's telling me about the court scene. I spun around, walked out the door, and made up my mind I was taking my cow into the courtroom with me. And that was the best character witness I could have at that time. By the way, too, she also stopped the presidential motorcade when Reagan was in Dulles-Town area.
Who did?
My cow.
You
walked in front of the motorcade.
Are you saying cow?
Cow, C-O-W.
Cow. You took a cow into a courtroom as a character witness for yourself?
Yes.
And you stopped a presidential motorcade with your cow?
Right. I walked right in front of it.
How could a cow act as a character witness for anybody?
Because
they can't do anything more than go moo.
Because I care more for the animals I had at that time. I had one cow and one horse.
Yeah, but again, sir, let's be realistic here. In a courtroom, assuming that any judge would ever let you bring a cow into the courtroom, how would the cow act as a character witness for you?
To prove a point that I care more for my animals than for a measly $400 that was stolen out of the store.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you.
I hit the international news.
Really?
Yes.
I can only imagine
what... the United Press International Wire Service.
I can only imagine what Judge Judy would say about that.
Happy trails.
Yeah, happy trails to you, too. Trails indeed. Or herding, or whatever it is you do with your cow. Well, there's a point on which to close the program. He didn't do it. He's a nice guy. Good night.